Consider this morning in the preaching and teaching of the gospel, second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples, and which he has taught and teaches us. The Catechism in Lord's Day 48 explains the second petition, it's printed in your bulletins and the back of your journals, as teaching that we are to pray that he which means, rule us so by thy word and spirit, we may submit ourselves more and more to thee, preserve and increase thy church, destroy the works of the devil of violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. Catechism, we respect and we are glad for because it is biblical. And throughout the Bible, we have these wonderful pronouncements of prophets, teachings of the saint, and rules of kings under God, all declaring and teaching that God is king. God is king forever, not just in the beginning, not just in the Eden paradise, but after the fall, and also in the gathering of the church. So as we sang one of the versifications of our hymns, there is this great Lord is to be praised because he's king, known in Zion especially. So in the Gospels, when John is preparing the way of King Jesus, he called the sinners to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, when he came teaching kingdom. He would say over and over in parables, kingdom of heaven is like, kingdom of heaven is like, kingdom of heaven is like this, kingdom of heaven is like that. And he would pray that, and he would teach that his disciples would be ready to receive the kingdom of blessings and be those who show themselves to be outstanding members of the kingdom. In fact, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount from this perspective, this teaching of the kingdom, you find great blessing in you and your children. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's all about the kingdom of blessings, holy and glorious to the King, his kingdom. And Jesus has much more to say in the New Testament, which is inspired by the Spirit of Jesus, much more to say. And so it's significant and biblical. Jesus himself reminds us to pray. When we pray our Father in heaven, we pray that his name be hallowed. Pray also that his kingdom be come. We're going to turn to Colossians 3 at this time to find two special points here that will make, want to move us and make us be better citizens of the kingdom, more effectual in our prayers by kingdom of God. We realize that in this worship service and in many across the land, God is gathering us for just that. We might be a special kingdom people. And that through proclamation and prayers, his kingdom will come. So let's be excited and energized in the Spirit as we read Colossians 1, the things of the kingdom, especially of a couple of things to which I draw your attention. In Colossians 1, 13, and to the end, we read as follows. Of Jesus Christ, it said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or translated us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. In whom, in this Son of God's love, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace with the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. Now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me, mightily. As far as the word of God, on which is based all the instructions, catechisms, and of sermons such as I present to you now, the word of God that lives and abides forever. Let's hear that word that we read, now that we're British. As I said to you in the first part of the introduction to the introduction, there's a couple of things, especially in this passage, that are incentives for us to pray the prayer that the kingdom come. I pointed them out to you in verse 13, for example. We are told here of God who has delivered us from the power of darkness, that he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's the first thing. When we pray that the kingdom of God would come, we are members of that kingdom. We are conveyed into that kingdom by the Son of his love. So we're praying for something that's great, blessing to us and precious to us. Things of the King, things of his kingdom, his rule. So that first of all, we have a personal interest. We pray, thy kingdom come. We have a personal interest in that. This is said of believers, saints, and faithful brethren in Christ, Colossians 1:2. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He made us into the kingdom, the Son of his love. These people, we, the people of God, in the kingdom, we pray for the coming of the kingdom. The second thing, the most important thing, in fact, in God's sight and ours, is that Jesus Christ is the preeminent one in that kingdom. The Son of God is given the kingdom, given the authority, power, the rule, the glory, as he comes into this flesh, the Son of the love of God. And he pays for sin, and he reconciles his church to himself. He makes them the kingdom people. He's the one by whom and for whom everything was made, who also is the one who establishes this wonderful kingdom of love, Jesus Christ. So it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, verse 19, and that he may in all things have the preeminence, verse 18. So when we're talking about the kingdom, praying for the kingdom of God to come, it's all about Jesus. It's all about a people praying who love Jesus, who are taking the Son of God's love and ours into the wonderful realm of his rule and grace. So let's consider, as we consider the prayer of thy kingdom come, first of all, the kingdom of grace, or the kingdom of grace, that is, and secondly, the kingdom of glory, which we pray, speaking there of the final kingdom. And finally, the kingdom of grace, glory, prayers. That's what we need to be. We're giving outstanding instruction in the Word and in the Catechism about just what we're to pray for as we pray for the kingdom of grace and glory to come. So may God bless us as we hear of God the King, who is, according to the Bible, the King by virtue of his name, Creator. He made everything to rule over everything, not just the things we see. As Daniel says in chapter 4 of his prophecy, he's made to be the king whose will is done, the king that rule, the armies of heaven, as well as the armies of the earth. Everything is so many cohorts and so many legions that have served the Lord. He is that kind of a creator. He's the king of creation. And when in the beginning God made Adam and Eve, he made them to fellowship with God, blessed fellowship, but also to serve God as king, regents of God, representatives of the king, so that they were commanded to subdue the earth, to fill it, and to people the earth with special representatives, Adam and Evites, those whom God would choose to be his representatives, rational, moral, of a greater being. Greater rule, even a greater being God, greater rule of divine. So over and over, we're reminded in the Bible that God is king. The Lord reigns, reigns over the heathen, reigns over God's people, he reigns over the animals, he reigns over the plants, he reigns over the inanimate things. And this is a very important concept in the Bible, a doctrine. Kingship of God. God is king forever, but the nations tremble. And when, in the natural light that's revealed to human beings, there is this God is revealed, and people know God. They're reminded of his Godhead. They know his Godhead, which also involves his kingship. And so they are without excuse. And when they refuse to submit to the ordinances of the king, well, then they are worthy of death, because the king will have no other will be silent. So there's this kingdom of God in general, kingdom of God in all the earth. But I want to point out to you that the kingdom of God for which we pray that it come is especially, pointedly, the kingdom of God's grace. It's not simply that we're praying that God would show his rule in all things, that he's the absolute monarch. When we pray the kingdom come, we're praying for his rule of grace to come, and so that his Son, the Son of his love, and the Redeemer have all the glory in gathering, in defending, and preserving of his church. You see, the church and the kingdom are very closely related concepts. Some identify them completely. And I would almost do that, except to say that there is a distinction between kingdom and church. Church simply speaks of the gathering of the people of God out of the world and into the fellowship of God, where church means all God ones. The kingdom speaks to us of the realm of God the rule and the realm into which we're brought as the people of God, we're brought out of the darkness. So Paul reminds us in Colossians, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. At this point, many people misunderstand and believe the concept of the kingdom and make it something far different even than the church. Dispensationalists, in fact, say that only the Jewish people were the kingdom people. And so the church is not the kingdom people, just the Jews. And they split up the people of God into two. This is wrongly dividing the Word of God. To rightly divide the Word of God, we must see that the kingdom / church people are one and the same. And the kingdom and church of God are very closely related. see from different points of view. So in the church, his kingdom, in the church to which the keys of the kingdom are given, Matthew chapter 16, in the church of the body of Christ, which to enter is to be saved and be born again, John 3, so that we see things in the kingdom of God, we are most gracefully led. So you see, it's not just by power that God makes kingdom. It's by grace. The grace of God. It's not, you see, work of some marvel of the invention of men, some superhero. It's the work of God in Christ that makes the kingdom. It makes the kingdom which is his church people together. And Colossians 1 is all about that. Jesus Christ is said to be the one by whom and for whom God made everything. Every single thing. But the most important thing is that Jesus Christ is the agent of God's creation, not only, but the agent of the reconciliation. And so there is here this wonderful speaking of the reconciling sinners who are in the dark to God. They're brought into the great realm and reign of God, now gladly, made willing in the day of his grace. And indeed, we can say much on that, but the idea of the kingdom, the idea of our praying kingdom, must be Christocentric. Must think about Jesus, who will giving him the preeminence. We always think about that. That he saves people in this kingdom, he is. So there's a realm in the kingdom, there's a place, it's called the church. Church of Jesus Christ, local churches, where people come together to hear the proclamation of the King. Even though in a rather subdued minister, as is Julie, who's been feeling the pain, it may sound like a fireside chat. Really, this is not what's going on here. It's a wonderful divine proclamation of the Word of God. Amazing. And through all of the efforts of man, God is speaking powerfully, almightily, saving his people. This is what goes on in the Church of Christ. The minister says, hear ye, word of the Lord. Hear ye, believe the word of the Lord. Hear ye, the kingdom of God and of Christ is among you. As Jesus said to the disciples, Luke 17, kingdom of God is among you. Hear ye, the thing to be believed. For the kingdom of heaven, Jesus would say in another place, comes not with observation. You can't see it with the natural eye. You must believe. Hear ye, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered the greatest enemies of this kingdom. That's not your bad knee, that's not your cancer, that's not your bad day, that's not the poor economy. The enemy is sin. And Jesus Christ is taking care of that problem. He is the one who has paid with his blood, reconciled us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:14. He has conquered the devil, given the death blow to the devil, although he is alive and kicking, and yet he's in his death throes of Satan, and he's retreating, and we shall soon trample him under our own feet on behalf of the King. Oh, Jesus reigns, and is pouring out the Spirit among the people of God is proof that there's power, resurrection power in the realm of grace, and the blessings of the kingdom. Again, you can read of them. They're all there in Matthew chapter 5. The blessings of peace, and of righteousness, and of inheriting the kingdom of heaven, and of the whole earth for Jesus' sake, they are reserved for the people of God. Though they be persecuted for righteousness, the great honor that they have is that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in this kingdom we have the great book of the King, the Bible, This is the constitution of this great citizenship of the united people of God, the holy nation, the Church of Christ, the kingdom. The book by which we go, by which all the judges and the rulers of the Church of Christ must go, and to which they must revert in dealing with matters of the government of the Church, the discipline of the Church, the ministry of the Church, the gathering of the Church, the comforting of the people of God in the Church, who bring the word of the kings. And there's so many customs, and there's so many things about the people of God in this kingdom. They learn not the way of the heathens, who are still in the kingdom of darkness. They learn the ways of God. So there's godly traditions that are passed down of worship. And so that there's a place of rest that we can come. And so we don't have to put up with the zany antics of a seminarian who's learned something new in the Athens that seminaries are rapidly becoming. And would you like to teach the people some new trick in some new way, in the hopes maybe you gather in one or two lost souls, so that they come in the door of the assembly next week and find them going out back room? There is a wonderful thing that's passed on, we see, in the kingdom people. The truth of God, embodied in the Word of God and formulated by the creeds of the Church of Jesus Christ. There's kingdom ways and kingdom ways of the families that we teach and that we learn from our children and our parents and grandchildren. Ways of devotion around the table. There's an order among the citizenship. There's a mutual delight. So that when we come together as kingdom people, it's an amazing thing. We delight in the same thing. Our children do. The young people do. When we take vacation, it's not from the rule of the king. It's so that we can be re-enervated, re-energized to be the people of God and to come back and to be all the more powerful in our service to God and His Church. So, yeah, this is wonderful kingdom. And it's coming relentlessly, to say, according to the decree of God. Even as God had made by Jesus, for Jesus, all creation. So creation is made so that there be this way from the coming of the greater thing, even the paradise at first. That greater thing would be the kingdom of grace. The kingdom in the blood of the Lamb. The kingdom that would be prophesied and that would be typified in Israel, and that is now upon these latter days, where Jesus, announced by John, is the herald of the king and the king. So he comes. So there's this wonderful reconciling of the people of God. Remember that kingdom, beloved. Beyond by grace. That's what it's all about. And so, whenever you're wondering whether there's one or two or three kingdoms or however many kingdoms, think of the gospel in Colossians 1, in right here. The gospel of the preeminent King Jesus. And then you'll know what is realm of the Savior. Jesus Christ is the king over citizens. He's the king over all. In fact, as Colossians goes on to say, Jesus Christ has reconciled us, but it pleased the Father also, verse 20, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And there's a little allusion here to the fact that all this creation is somehow taken into the wonderful blessings of the Church. Romans 1 also speaks of this, but it speaks of the whole creation groaning and travailing until now, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. And we're not talking about devils here, nor the reprobate wicked who will never be reconciled to God. But we are talking, and we're not talking either, about a reprobate culture without Christ, without grace. But the Bible is talking here about the ultimate reconciliation of the world that God has loved, and which will be the new heavens and new earth of eternity. So that's the kingdom. people of God manifest in local churches, faith witnessing in all the world, and church being gathered, and then with them all things somehow being gathered, and so at the end of time, a whole world is saved, and God's elect from every nation, tribe, and tongue, all brought into the kingdom, and with the new heavens and the new earth, extolling God forever. That leads to this, the kingdom of glory. We pray for the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of grace. The kingdom of God's church, God's people. The kingdom which we gladly serve and of which we're glad members. But also, baby, praying for heaven. That's right. Ultimately, before anything else you desire, desire when you pray in our kingdom to come. For Jesus had come with the clouds of heaven, King of Kings, and to usher in heaven. This is what Paul calls the blessed hope, glorious superior of our Lord and Savior, the glorious superior of the King, who came once in humiliation, now will come in great, great majesty of heaven, and nothing hidden, and so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and King to the glory of God the Father. John is revealed in Revelation this wonderful coming of the King, Jesus said, ultimately coming, and so all the nations and the mysterious creatures of heaven are describing as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and bowing before him and casting down their crowns before him, so that no kingship will ever be seen to hold up a flame at all to the kingship of Jesus Christ. You see, the purpose of God, glory comes when the King who came as a babe in Bethlehem, who died on the cross, and who was despised and rejected of men, when he comes finally, crowned in all this radiant glory, he will have the enemies. Forever and ever. In hell, there will be a magnification of the justice of this King. And in heaven especially, a glorification of this King, especially for his righteous grace, revealed on the cross, saving us for sin. We long for that glory. A lot of people now in churches that way here that are so chomping at the bit for glory that they want it now. And indeed, it's true. There is glory now. We pray that our kingdom would come. We're not just saying, we're just a bunch of glorious nothings. God has made the church to be a glorious thing. The kingdom realm to be a glorious thing. And whatever we touch, you realize this. Whatever we work, and whatever we do at work, when we're faithful, we're doing this by faith. When we're pouring concrete, pounding a nail, landscaping, business men, fixing cars, and doing business, and having the wonderful business of being a wife and mother. That's touched by the King's grace. And that's a work that will follow us. The reward of grace. Amazing. This is glory. Glory in what we do, what we think in our resolutions. Glory in the gathering of churches and families and individuals. It's a great thing, that's what I mean by glory, in which God has revealed. That's the definition of glory, the revelation of the greatness of God, who is great and greatly to be praised. He came, and you, and me, is glory now. And when we pray that kingdom come, we're praying, yes, that the glory of God may be seen in the church. You see, that's very different than being humanly glorious. Also, in 1 Corinthians speaks of the fact that not many humanly glorious are called into the kingdom. It's just the way of God. He calls the weak and despised. Oh yes, he can call kings, and he turns as we pray in the hearts of kings like rivers and waters. But he's pleased also, especially, among the foolish things of the world. calls on. He's pleased, after all, with the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to gather his own. And he leaves it, you see, not in the gods, when he says, oh, I'm going to trust this to weak preachers and weak servants. No. He has obeyed that through this proclamation, heaven would come, and we go to heaven. He's ordained when I say, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is ordained that he will say that through me, as he's doing now. There's glory here. Glory of power in heaven. Glorious who are themselves part of the kingdom under the rule of Jesus now, and to whom all things are become new, so that they in their wrestling match with their own, dying in the terrible and ethical sins, they win. And that sin that they struggle against is conquered and being conquered by their putting it away and putting it on Christ. That doesn't mean the temper of a man given to a temper is controlled by the Spirit in answer to the prayer of the man given to temper, Lord, deliver me from this domination. The lust of a young man and woman, or older man and woman. From that we are delivered as God answers our prayers, that kingdom come in my heart, in my body. The proneness to anger, the proneness to be argumentative, the proneness to be on the throne, always. That will never go away until we go to heaven, the proneness. But the power of it is decreased as we grow in sanctification. And more and more, the only thing that's us, God's on the throne, up there, in my life, in my marriage, in our church, in our world, God. But for all that, it's far more to come, glory. Love for that, every single Sunday. It ought not to be only me who staggers in the church, but all of us. Because we've had a long week struggling against it. When we come to church and live, and hobble, sit down, we don't fall asleep. We're eager to be built up again in the truth of the kingdom of God and Jesus. We should be loved. So we hear the blessedness of the God who forgives. We hear the blessedness of the King who doesn't hold anything against us, because not even God will be against us, because he's for us in Jesus, and the blood is that which covers us. And the citizens may hold their uprisings, the citizens even of the kingdom, and the rebellions that even go outside the kingdom of God, if that were possible. But God always brings us back. So we met the lady, and we have comfort and peace and assurance. The God who's given power, gave grace, the glory which he will receive, reserve us heaven. So Jerusalem the golden is our gold, and is our delight. Great goodnesses of God revealed in that new city, Jerusalem. There's no sun, there's no oceans dividing and symbolizing the wicked or like a troubled sea. All is gone. That in our minds is our hope, and we long for that, and we preach for that. And meanwhile, it's not about being glorious in a sense that we attract the masses. It never works. Given the name of being all things to all men, and offering lattes, and offering this and that. Beloved, all we have to preach here is the gospel. we have to build one another up and send each other into this world with all others. Join the mighty throng of the kingdom. And enjoy the blessings of life forever. Well, that leads to the final point. Catechism reminds us that we are to pray, only pray. Pray, first of all, with regard to ourselves. And I think there'd be a lot of problems that would be solved. Theologically, church debates, denominational debates, well, what is the kingdom? Are there two kingdoms? Are there three kingdoms? Are there 10 kingdoms? About who's in and who's not. I say a lot of problems would be solved if we just remember that the rule of Christ for which we're praying has to do with us. Me, personally. You, personally. And all of us, individually. Yes, you should, even before you really recognize who you are as an individual, the gospel comes to you, personally. And God asks you and calls you and reminds you of the blessings of the covenant, the blessings that you have and you seek to enjoy. The blessings of becoming who you are. Becoming more ruled by God, which is a good thing, which is called righteousness, which is liberty and not restriction. And so the catechism reminds us, when we pray for the person, rule us by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. You see, the catechism is taking a leap from Jesus and from Paul and all the New Testament writers, as well as the Old, of course. You have been translated from darkness into the kingdom. And now all the prayers of the people of God, including that kingdom come, have to do with becoming of what we are, the glorification of what has begun in the sanctified work of the Holy Spirit, has to do with growth and bearing fruit and becoming more and more like Jesus, who is the perfect Son of God in the kingdom. It has less and less, however, to do with your commitments and more to do with Jesus in your life, so that you can say at the end of the day, at the end of every day, to me a living is Christ and it dies again. So he's my Savior and my Lord, my King. And I do battles, but I need God. That's why I pray, Lord, give your word and spirit. And then at thy church may increase, reserve and increase thy church. We're a people that's centered on Christ, and Christ is centered on his church, his kingdom people, his body. Been very attuned this last 5 weeks or so, the convalescence and surgeries for me. Very attuned to my body, probably over months. Hating the pain, but receiving it more and more as a gift. Or when God says pain, God is to lead us to him, and we're only comforted by him. More and more, my unruly spirit in manifesting itself in patience, self-reliance, and walking on my own has been subdued. And it's all an answer to prayer. Oh, yes, sometimes in spite of myself, but God is working in me to be more prayerful and pastor. More God-minded pastor, and I trust more powerful pulpit and ministry because it's more about God, less about mission day. More about God. So the church, God is sensitive to the church. You see that? We're sensitive to our bodies and we're led to the head. God himself in Christ makes the church his body, and he's so sensitive to our hurts so that when we hurt, we feel. feels the pain. He's the empathetic high priest. This kingdom of his is not something that there's outlying regions of which to which he's never visited, as early kings have, you know, they have so many acres and so many lands and regions that they hardly know who's there. They send out their vice regents and so on, and they beat him over the head, and they haven't paid their taxes with God. He sent his son, and sent his spirit and his word. And he knows us all. He knows the poor, the mud of ground we're tilling. He knows the pain. He knows the hurt. He knows the trials. He knows it all. He knows the past, the present, and the future. And he's with us. He's King, grace, glory, teaching us of this. It's all because Jesus loves his church. But then there's something here that Catechism reminds us. We certainly need to be reminded of this today. We pray for the kingdom to come. You know what else we pray? Destroy works the devil. And destroy all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word. We pray that one kingdom to come and another to fall. Here is an expression of the church militant, the church earnestly contending for the faith of our fathers. So we pray here, you may be a church militant, that your servant would bring the word of God over against the lie and denounce the lie for what it is. We pray that we would have a canon's class and would teach the truth as it is in God and predestination and the wonderful atonement of Christ over against Arminianism, which is the lie that the will of man is that on which salvation depends. We preach that because we pray that. We pray that God would destroy the lie, that God would destroy it. And God would give churches that have compromised and tolerated the lie in their midst to be those who would be more forthright about the truth. Come what may, even if they lose numbers a little bit. This should matter here. The truth is the principal thing for the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the pillar, the crown of the truth. And the kingdom has no truth, it has no constitution, it has no Bible. Has nothing to proclaim to the nations. Hold on to the truth. In being imprecatory, even, meaning calling down curses upon the errorists, not as our personal enemies. Not that this undermines our praying and love for the salvation of the lost and of our personal enemies, but we take a stand against them as the enemies of God. And we are those who still invite them for tea if they be heretics. We call them to repent, and we want them to listen to the word of God, which they should know. So we are this kind of Christian, not popular, but the kind that God makes to pray that kingdom come. Reform, and always reforming. Gospel lovers, truth lovers, kingdom of God lovers, but heathens of the lie and of the works of darkness. This would involve, of course, our interaction with culture. This is a huge topic here, just briefly. When we pray the kingdom to come, beloved, you really cannot consistently pray that and have in the center of your life and in your living room this television, 6x4, however big it is or small, or this internet, in which you're inviting the kingdom of the world. And I'm not saying all culture is bad, but so much of it is tainted by the bad. So much of the theater, the movies, the drama, and all of the things that go by the name of being human is decidedly of the devil. Hear the words of the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is not of the Father. Pride of life, the lust of the flesh, all love it not, and teach your children to love it not as they're praying for the kingdom of God to come. Teach them indeed to be a cultured people, to be sure, to subdue the earth indeed, as what we're called to do still, but as Christians and by faith, and as this people that's of the kingdom of heaven, not of this world, as Jesus said, this kingdom is not of this world. And so, Father, we pray till the full perfection of the kingdom would take place, when God would be all in all. Pray that the kingdom come. Pray that, people of God. O God, God our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Blessed do our great sanctification and are being more and more your kingdom people. The people of grace who know Jesus, who love him. The people of glory who are those in whom you have begun your work of heaven, who long to the final glory, the coming of the King in all his majesty and might. We pray, Father, bless us as we hear, bless us as we fellowship with one another, encourage our hearts, for it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom.